Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalmi Yevamos Daf Hey, and we're starting down on the base on the bottom at the beginning of the Gemara after the Mishnah. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marshmim Sarbas Baka Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Oliyah. So we're going to start then regarding that rice that we mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta. Remember, we have Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven has two wives. One of them is an erva to Shimon. Now, if that woman was a katana and she did miyun, she refused. She walked out of the marriage. So now that Reuven dies, Shimon is allowed to be miyabim the tsara because the erva isn't in the picture anymore. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss what about miyun after death? Does that work, or is mean only work when the husband's still alive? Now, it's important to know that the Gemara begins by discussing a case where Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter, dies, whether or not she could do Mian right now. Now, the obvious question has to be asked, and will be asked later in the Gemara, is that we know that Mian is when she doesn't have a father. As we had explained, it's talking about a katana whose father died, so the Chum allowed her mother brother to marry off as a katana, so she's not taken advantage of. But if the father is alive, he's allowed to marry off to her Raisa, and then no Mian is allowed. And as we said, the Gemara is going to talk about that. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Hariel Pachos are saying, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan tells us, she's allowed to do miyun to her yavam, meaning after her husband Reuven dies, she's allowed to do miyun to Shimon, who's the erva to her. It could even be her father. And what does this help? Lakar zikas hameis, that uproots the zika, the connection that she had to the mace, to her previous husband, and memelo lahatir tsar lavia, that permits the tsara, the co-wife, to marry her father, or v'kal l'chamiha, permits the daughter-in-law to marry the father-in-law. For example, Shimon's son married this girl as a ketana, and he died, and now she does miyun, so that means that lima freya, she was never really Shimon's daughter-in-law, so now she's allowed to marry him. And again, the key over here is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Mian is allowed to happen after the death of her husband. However, Rabbi Shimon Lakish train Amrin, Rav and Rosh Lakish both hold, she can't do Mian to the Yavam, Lakar Zika Zameis, Lahatar Tsar Lavia, Vakal Chamiyad, to uproot the Zika, the connection that she had with the Mace, her previous husband, in order to matter her Tsar to her father or her daughter-in-law to her father-in-law. So now the question is, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Kabeshamai, Rav and Rosh Lakish hold like Beshamai, the Beshamai Amrin Beshamai says, Babal, the Mian can only happen directly to her husband, but once her husband passes away, Mian's not allowed to be done. And it's mashma that Rav and Rosh Lakish hold like that. And we know they're usually passing like Beis Hillel and not like Beis Shammai. So what's going on? Are Rav and Rosh Lakish really holding like Beis Shammai? Answers the Gemara Manan Kamin, what are we referring to? Hang on the top. In by Meres, if she looks at the Yavam, which again is an erva to her, let's say her father, and she says, I don't want your marriage or the marriage of your brother, meaning I didn't want to be married to your brother previously. So call everyone, meaning Rabbi Yechanan and Rav and Rosh Lakish agree that she could be Iker, she could uproot that marriage, lima freya, retroactively, and it's ke'ilu like she was never married to the brother, and this is happening after death. Everyone agrees to that. El Kanan comments, what are we referring to? Meaning, what's the case that we have machlaikas, Rabbi Yechanan on one side, and Rav and Rosh Lakish on the other side? But Maris, when she says, yeah, she been a suin, I don't want marriage. So Rabbi Yechanan says, how do we interpret this? It's ke'ilu ke'ay Maris. It's as if she's saying that's the girsa, not be'ay Maris, but ke'ay Maris, if she loy ben esuach, avlo nusuyachicha. It's like she's saying what we mentioned previously. She's telling her father, who's the Yavam, I don't want to be married to you or to your brother. I didn't want that marriage originally. Mela, we say lima freya. It's like she did this retroactively. So she was never married to the brother. So now she's out of the picture and her father's allowed to be miyabim her tzara. Whereas Rav, Rav Shimon Lakish, Shain Armin, Rav and Rosh Lakish, they both say that no. Ki'ay Meres, as if she's saying, efshi bin suecha, I don't want to be married to you. Al bin suechicha, reitzani. But I did want to be married to your brother. Mela, that's not considered miyun. So now she still has the zika to her father, whom she's falling to yibum to him. And therefore, not only she pater, but she also paters her tzara. Says the Gemara, Masisa Pliga Rabbi Yechanan. It seems to be that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yechanan. What did our Mishnah say? V'kulan and Mesu, all of them, all the rice we had mentioned, the first Mishnah, if they had died, Aymianu, they did Mion, Aynis Garshu, they got divorced, Ashim Su Islandis, or if they turned to be an Islandist, Sarsain Mutaris, their tsars are mutar. Now we focus on one of these, Nisgarshu, Voloy Heimanu, when it says that they got divorced. Doesn't mean they got divorced from him when he was still alive, that he divorced them when he was alive. There has to be that because that's the only way they could have gotten divorced from him. Memelu, the it has to be that when we say that Mion was done, that they did Mion when the original husband, Reuven, was still alive. And so it's pretty clear from our Mishnah that you can't do Mion after death. How could Rabbi Yochanan say this? Now, even though really this question in Rav and Rosh Lakish as well, we're asking it in Rabbi Yochanan. So that's question number one. And question number two is, Ruchia teaches us a version of Braisa. What does he say? If they did Mion or got divorced when the husband was still alive, so then their tsars are permitted for Yibam. Whereas L'achar Misa Baal, if they did Mion after Misa, Tzar Sein Chaltas Lamis Yab Mais. The Tzar require Chalitza and not Yibam. We see from his Brisa also the same thing, that after the husband dies, Mion can't be done anymore. So the answer is that no. Amar of Yudan of Matanya, Yudan, the father of Matanya, says, Tifter, we could explain, Shemesu Velay Meyanu. This is talking about where they died without doing Mion. In other words, when this Brisa we just quoted says, La'achar Misa Sabal, Tzar Sein Chaltas Lamis Yab Mais, that means that after the husband died, this Erva then died. And so in that case, the Tzar requires Chalitza and not Yibam. However, the Brisa would agree that if after the husband died, died, she did a full-fledged miyun, so then it does take her out of the picture retroactively. Memeila Tzara would be able to have yibum done to her. The Gemara continues asking basically the same question from a mission we're going to have on the next daf. Demasnisa, this mission tells as follows: if she was able to do miyun and she didn't do miyun, and then her husband died, so tzara chaletzes v'lemes haemes. The tzara requires chalitza and not yibum. Once again, we see that miyun is not able to be done after her husband died. How do we understand that, which we've been saying up until now, that miyun is able to be done? Says the Gemara, like we had just answered in the previous brisa, that came asnisa. This mission is referring to if she was able to do miyun, she didn't do miyun, and then she died before being able to do miyun, so then tzara chaletzes v'lemes haemes. Her tzara is going to have to do chalitza and no yibum. But if indeed after her husband died, she did do a proper miyun, so that would be fine, and we would follow that, and then the tzara would be able to have yibum done. Now, Amar Rav Mari, he answers differently. Afilu tam b'kayemes, we can explain this mishnah that she's still alive. Tifter, we could say she'ain sham yavam acher el avia, that the only yavam that's here is her father, which means we only have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter. Then Reuven dies without children, and Shimon's daughter is falling to him. So in this situation, since Shimon is the only yavam, it's too late. Shimon's daughter is not able to do miyun anymore to have it work retroactively. However, if there are other brothers, so that means that technically Shimon's daughter could marry one of his other brothers, Levi or Yehuda, so then she's able to do a proper miyun that would remove the zika that she has to the other brothers, Memela making her not relevant to her father either, and then the tzara would be permitted to her father. So that's another way to explain that mishnah. Now we're going on to discuss another part of our mishnah which had said if she's found to be an islandess, namely if the erva turns out to be an islandess, so she can't bear children, so her tzara is able to marry the yavam. Now Rabbi Yonah says, Bovamina Erusin, this is only if she's an islandess mina Erusin. Now we know the Jewish marriage has two parts to it, Erusin and Nisuin. Erusin, a lot of times, will translate it as halachic engagement. This is when the woman receives kiddushin from the husband, but there was never Nisuin. There wasn't yichud yet, so there was just kiddushin. That's called Erusin. It's official halachic engagement. And so if Reuven had died after being ma'aris, this woman, who turned out to be an islandess, so it's in that case that her tzara is allowed to marry the yavam. And that's for the following reason. Since there was only Erusin between this islandess and Reuven, we can say with fair certainty that had Reuven discovered that she was an islandess, he would want to be mevatel that kiddushin l'mafreya. He wouldn't want to be married to her because she can't have children. We view it as if it's already null and void l'mafreya. So that's why the islandess is out of the picture and the tzar is allowed to undergo yibum. However, if it was min hanisuin, if Reuven had already fully married this islandess and then he died, Rabbi Yonah is teaching us that's actually considered a full-fledged kiddushin, full-fledged marriage, because by that time, since they were already together, since there was already yichud, we assume that Reuven figured out that she's an islandess and nonetheless he stayed married to her. So in that case, she is considered his full-fledged wife. Memela her tzara is not permitted in yibum. Rabbi Yisrael argues and he says, afim nisuin. No, even if she's an islandess min hanisuin, we consider that marriage null and void l'mafreya. Memela the tzara is permitted in yibum. Now says the Gemara machzira tanyana, in the second machzor, in the second round when they came back to learning Yimsech Zivamas again, chazar by Rabbi Yisrael was chazar from this and ended up agreeing to Rabbi Yonah that the mission is only talking about an islandess min hanisuin, but not min hanisuin. Now Amar Rabbi Pinchas told him, like an alfan Rebbe min hanisuin, didn't you Rebbe teach us that it's from nisuin also? So Amar Li, Rabbi Yisrael told him, vikavua gabach kamas merad. It seems to be it's set with you like a nail, meaning it's nice to see that you remember my teachings from last machzor. It was like a nail knocked in, and remember it really solidly. I remember teaching it like that as well. However, I was chayzer. Now Amar Abzairu kumir amana, Rabbi Yisrael sent for amana, yos Amar Rabbi Yisrael alo yachzer bay. Rabbi Yisrael had said before he was chayzer was good, which means Rabbi Yisrael agrees with Rabbi Yisrael's original shita, where he argued with Rabbi Yonah that even if she's an islandess min hanisuin, her tzar is allowed to marry the yavam. Now Rabbi Yonah asked Rabbi Yisrael, how could that be? Ilu bita min hanisuin beloy islandess. Let's say his daughter falls to him from nisuin and she's not an islandess, which means Reuven married his niece Shimon's daughter, then Reuven died without children, so Shimon's daughter is falling to him, and nothing to do with an islandess over here. Over here, for sure, we'd say that tzaras asura, her tzara is asur. So now imnation itaisef la islandess tzaras muteres. Just because you're adding on the factor that she's an islandess, you want to say her tzara is mutter? Why would that be? Since it's coming from nisuin, we assume that that's a full-fledged marriage, even if she's an islandess. Mimela, the tzara would be asur. So Amar Leib Zayir responded to him that no, islandess can be she'ena ba'olam. Islandess is different. It's as if she's not even here. It's as if she doesn't exist. Meaning, even though she had fully-fledged nisuin, full-fledged marriage to Reuven, it doesn't make a difference. Once we discover she's an islandess, it's as if she never existed. As if she's ena ba'olam. She's not here anymore. Mimela, the tzara is permitted in yibum. And hang on, based on top, the Gemara brings us out. Ilu shtei yavamas. Let's say we have two yavamas falling. Achas islandess v'achas she'ena islandess. One's an islandess and one of them is not. Uba yavam v'chalot zlo uba aleha. And then the yavam comes along and he either does chalitza or bia to her, to the islandess. Shema pater b'chaverta klom. Are we going to say that pater's anything in the other one, in the tzara? No. Why is that? Because an islandess is not chayv and chalitza or yibum. She has no sheches, she has no connection to any of that because she's an islandess. Eilanus. And therefore we see from here, Hava Eilanus Kimi She'eina Ba'olam, in Eilanus as if she's not here in the world. Therefore, going back to original case, when Reuven's married to Shimon's daughter and she turns out to be an Eilanus, even if that was Min HaNisuin, we still view her as if she's not in the picture, and therefore Shimon is allowed to Miyabim the Tzara. Now the more discusses what we had said in the beginning of today, that it would Bitoy, his daughter. The question is, Bitoy Ma'anes, could his daughter do Miyun? How does this make sense? V'loy Nisue Tairahi, that's a proper Girsa, as it's not a proper marriage, Midoy Raisa, as the Pasuk tells us, as Biti Nisati L'Shazeh, I gave my daughter to this man. As we had said right in the beginning, Midoy Raisa, a man is allowed to marry his daughter off when she's a Ketana, as of Shimon married his daughter off to his brother Reuven when she was a Ketana, how is it possible that she could do Miyun? This is a marriage, Da'i Raisa, answers the Gemara of Hunus Shimon Lakish. Tifter Reed explained, Ketana She Sio Vivin is Garsha. It could be talking about a Ketana whose father married her off, and then she got divorced from that husband, and she's still a Ketana. And what's she considered? She Kiyosoma B'chaya Via. We treat her like an orphan while her father is still alive. Even though obviously she has a father, she could go home, her father will take care of her. But from a halachic standpoint, she's considered an orphan in her father's life. Her father already married her off. That's a one-time chance. He now is not allowed to marry her off anymore. So she's a Ketana, who now, if she gets married again, that's just a derabanan kiddushin, and she is allowed to do miyun. And that's the case that we're talking about over here. Now we discussed the last part of the Mishnah, which I pointed out that there's three women from the first Mishnah, three of their rayos, that we can't possibly say that they did miyun or they turned out to be an islandess. And that's if Reuven is married to Shimon's mother-in-law, mother-in-law's mother, or father-in-law's mother. And the reason for that is obvious in regards to islandess, because an islandess can't have children. And since she's already a mother-in-law, so obviously she had children. Now focusing on the second part of the statement, they did miyun. And we mentioned briefly in the Mishnah that we're clearly understanding that if a woman was able to have a child, that means she's not able to do miyun anymore. And that's what the Gemara is telling us now. Rav Acha quotes Rav Chanina b'shem Rav Shimon Lakish. Zayis Amaris tells us she'en ketana yuladas, that a ketana can't have children. The law came because if that's not so, if a ketana could have children, that means she could do miyun even though she had a child. And therefore, tamten ad shetagdol timon mabaylo. Why not wait until she grows up? She does miyun to her husband, v'tater tzaras l'chanasa, and then she could be mater her tzara to her son-in-law. Again, we have Reuven married to his brother Shimon's mother-in-law and another woman. And if you want to say that a ketana is able to have children, so why can't we say that Shimon's mother-in-law is still a ketana? Let her just do miyun to Reuven even after Reuven died, and now her tzara is permitted to marry her son-in-law Shimon. And from the fact that we don't say that, rather, since the Mishnah tells us that we can't possibly apply the case of miyun to a person's mother-in-law, it must mean that a ketana can't have a child. But now we see a different shita. Says the Gemara, Kalasa Shrebi Shmuel Miyana, the daughter-in-law Rebi Shmuel did miyun ubenal ksefa, and her son was on her shoulder, which means a ketana could have a child. Mimela, she's able to do miyun even though she has a child. Now the other shita from Rishmal, Reb Chizkiya says Shem Ravo, Reb Yuda, Reb Shimon, Reb Shmuel, Amru Davar Echad, Reb Yuda, Reb Shimon, Reb Shmuel all say the same thing, that even though a girl had a child, she's still able to do miyun. Where do we see this? Tani, we have a braisa, ad imus haybas ma'anes, up until when is a daughter, meaning is a girl, able to do miyun? So first opinion is Achadav Yishtei Sairus Divra Meir. Rav Meir holds up until she brings two sires, which means the beginning of puberty, once she has two sires, two hairs by the pubic area, that already tells us that she's not a ketana anymore and she's not able to do miyun. And Rabbi Hudaimer, he says, no, Ajir Bashachar, it's once the black or the dark increases, which means not just Shtei Sairus, but there has to be multiple sires by her private area. And only then we say she's not able to do miyun, but beforehand she is able to. Whereas Rav Shimon says, Ashet Spashet HaKaf, till the kaf, which literally means the spoon, it spreads out, is the area on her body, which is slightly above her private part. It protrudes from her body a little bit. It's kind of like a spoon. And as she gets older, it starts smoothing out. The bump is not so pronounced anymore. It's only once that happens, once it starts smoothing out and flattening, says Rav Shimon, that she's not allowed to do miyun, but beforehand she is allowed to. Now just clarifying this, Rav Zayir quotes Rav Chiya b'shem Rav Shimon Lakish, that what's Rav Shimon's shita, ashet tespashet hakaf v'heya shachar rabah alavon. It's both these together, this kaf, this spoon, this bump on her skin, that has to smooth out, and she also has to have more shachar than lavon by her private area, and only then she's considered too old to do miyun. Now bottom line is we see that Rav Yud and Rav Shimon both agree that even though maybe halachically she's a ketana, because she already brought Shtei Sairus, she still is able to do miyun. Now our assumption is that they both agree that once she becomes a ketana, meaning she brings two sires, she's able to bear a child, but nonetheless, according to them, she's still able to do miyun. So we see that they agree with Rabbi Shmuel that a girl is able to do miyun even though she has a child. Now before we discuss whether or not this is true, meaning whether or not Rabbi Yudan Rabbi Shimon actually agree with Rabbi Shmuel, we just mentioned the Rabbi Vo quotes Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Shaya that halachah Rabbi Yudan, the halachah Rabbi Yuda, and Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar, he says halachah Rabbi Yuda, that also the halachah Rabbi Yehuda. And also of the Kumi Rabbi Yasa, there's a story that came to Rabbi Yasa where the girl wanted to do miyun even though she had brought Shtei Sairus, however, she had not yet reached the stage of Yarba Shachar al Lavon. And Amri said, Ezel Gai Ravo, go to Rabbi Vo, the Islay Ofan al Rabbi Yehuda, because he has a teaching thing, meaning his Messiah is halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, that she's still able to do Mion. But on us, less on Ofan halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, we don't have a Messiah that halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, so we can't pass on that for you. That's why you should go to Rabbi Avo. And also, Rabbi Chanina says halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. However, Rabbi Yochanan told people at Tzipayri, Adon Omer Mishum Rabbi Chanina halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, you had said in the Rabbi Chanina halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, but Velasi Kane, that's not so. Rabbi Chanina never said that, meaning you can't quote Rabbi Chanina saying that halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, bottom line is going back to the original discussion, my Kedain, what now is it then? Is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agreed to Rabbi Yishmael that even though she's officially Ketana, she brought Shtei Cyrus, she's able to do Mion, and that means that she would be able to have a child? Sigmar tells us, Chavrai say b'shem Rabbi Chanina, the Chavrai, which means the Chum in Beis Medrash, they send the Rabbi Chanina, but Rabbi Yehuda, she'im nivol m'shevia Shtei Cyrus, that if she had Bia, after she already had two Cyrus, she'in yichel main, she's not able to do Mion. Why is that? Because we know that one of the valid forms of Kiddushin is Bia, and so if after she brought two Cyrus, she had Bia with her husband, so that's considered like a Dairaisa Kiddushin, so she can't do Mion anymore. Up until now, her Kiddushin was only Darabanan, so she can do Mion. Now that's Dairaisa, she can't do Mion. Harb Zahir says, B'shem Rabbi Chanina, a different memra, Maidai Rabbi Yehuda, She'im Niskadcha M'Shevia Shtei Cyrus, that if she accepted Kiddushin from her husband, meaning she accepted something of value from her husband, L'Shem Kiddushin, after she brought two Cyrus, so then She'in Yechel Mayin, she's not able to do Mion anymore, but if she just had Bia with him, that's not considered like Kiddushin, in as much as that he's acquiring her Midairaisa, so she can't do Mion. And therefore, if she just had Bia with her husband, even after bringing two Cyrus, she is able to do Mion. Now, what does this machlokes Chavrai and Reb Zaira in Chitas Reb Chanina have to do with what we're discussing? So, all that Reb Zaira, according to Reb Zaira, the Amar Niskadcha M'Shevia Shtei Cyrus, who had said that if she accepted proper Kiddushin after bringing two Cyrus, that she can't do Mion anymore. That's mashma Ha'im Niskadcha Ad Shelo Hivia Shtei Cyrus, that if she accepted Kiddushin before bringing two Cyrus, V'Nivala M'Shevia Shtei Cyrus, and she had Bia after Shtei Cyrus, Yechel Hivimayin, she would be able to do Mion because she's not married Midaraisa. So, Nicha, this makes sense. Meaning, the fact that Ravo said that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Shmuel that even after bringing two Cyrus, she's able to do Mion, and that means she would be able to have a child. So this fits well, because she had Bia after Shtei Cyrus, which means she's able to have a child, and she's still able to do Mion, so it's just like Rabbi Shmuel. But all that in the Chavraya, according to the Chavraya, the Inun Amrin, they said, Nivala M'Shevia Shtei Cyrus, that if she had Bia after Shtei Cyrus, she's not able to do Mion anymore. So Ha'im Nivala Ad Shelo'evia Shtei Cyrus, Yechayli Mayin, that tells us that if she had Bia before Shtei Cyrus, which is very normal, she's having Bia with her husband while she's still a Ketana, she's able to do Mion, but Vizai, Amos Ibri Vialda, this one, how would she able to become pregnant and give birth? Achle Vishte Cyrus, is before she was Havishte Cyrus, so there's no possibility of her getting pregnant and having a child and subsequently being able to do Mion, because again, the last Bia that she had was before she was Havishte Cyrus, and we're assuming then she can't have a child. And why is that? Says the Gemara, because Vachayahi, is she able to live if she would get pregnant? Like in Omer Berdifa, quoting Rabbi Yaina B'Shem Rabbi Ila, Isa Ibra Vialda, Achle Vishte Cyrus, if a woman became pregnant and gave birth before she brought two Cyrus, meaning while she was still a Ketana, he uben amesim, both her and her child are going to die. It's only m'shevia shtei Cyrus. If after she had two Cyrus, so then he uben achayim, both he and her child are going to live. Whereas Ibrad sholayvia shtei Cyrus, v'yolda m'shevia shtei Cyrus, if she became pregnant before shtei Cyrus, but she only gave birth to the child after shtei Cyrus, he chay uben ames. She's going to live, but her child's going to die. Bottom line is, we see according to this understanding that she's not able to do Mion if she had Bia after shtei Cyrus. It would mean that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Rabbi Shmuel because there's not a possibility of her doing Mion after Shtei Cyrus with a child. So this aversion would show that Rabbi Avo is incorrect when he says that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Shmuel. Is the Gemara Vav Amar on top, my Kedain, what now? How do we understand this? Are we able to say that Rabbi Avo's statement, that Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon saying the same thing is correct or not? So the Gemara answers, no, that we misunderstood what Rabbi Avo is saying. It's not that Rabbi Avo is telling us that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both agree with Rabbi Shmuel that a girl could do Mion even though she has a child. Rather, he means to say that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda Ad Sheyar B'Shachar. Rabbi Shmuel is going like Rabbi Yehuda that she's allowed to do Mion up until the stage of Yar B'Shachar HaLavon, which means even though she already brought two Cyrus, she still is able to do Mion. And also Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon in a totally different Shita, not regarding the Braisa which Rabbi Shimon's quoted with Rabbi Yehuda, rather regarding a totally different Braisa, namely where it says Al Tanai Kiddush Harisha and Baal, that he's Baal based off of the original Kiddushin, namely when this man is married to the Ketana, even when he's bail her after she's maybe Shtei Cyrus, he doesn't have in mind to do a brand new Kiddushin. He's still being bail her based off of the original Kiddushin, so this Bia is not considered a new Kiddushin. Therefore, even though they had Bia after Shtei Cyrus and she became pregnant and maybe even had a child from that, she still was able to do Mion because there was never another Kiddushin. And that's what Rav Avoh meant when he said that Rabbi Shmuel is like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. He's going like Rabbi Yehuda in one thing and Rabbi Shimon in another thing. And therefore, Rav Avoh's statement makes sense. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss the Bryce that we quoted previously, but for now, Everyone should have a wonderful day.